Hey everybody, I'm Bob Smithhauser. Welcome to the official Plugged In podcast, sponsored by the city of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Looking for a great vacation destination? Why not experience creation in all its beauty in Gatlinburg and the Smoky Mountains? For a closer look at everything Gatlinburg has to offer, visit gatlinburg.com for your free vacation guide. So glad you could be with us today. This is our 200th episode, and we have something special planned to commemorate the milestone. You see, over the past few years, we have interviewed some awesome folks tied to the world of entertainment. Actors, athletes, producers, pastors, musicians, Muppets, the list goes on. Anyway, I thought you might enjoy hearing highlights from some of those conversations. Then I'll be back to tell you about some free resources that'll make watching movies as a family even more special and interactive. Which, come to think of it, would be perfect for our first guests, father and son apologetics experts Josh and Sean McDowell.
When I was raising my kids, there weren't the availability of DVDs like everything today. You went to the theater. And I don't think I ever went to a movie with my kids, and they didn't realize what was going through my mind where I wasn't watching that movie. What is the truth here? What is something that is a value or negative that I can bring out later in a conversation with my kids?
Many people might not understand what existentialism means or postmodernism or nihilism. These are philosophies that are deeply against the biblical worldview, yet they subtly come through. And subtle is the key. The most powerful persuasion is subtly when somebody doesn't even know they're being persuaded. They come through in movies. And in my study of film, is actors and directors know exactly what they're doing in movies, trying to get a worldview across.
Gospel singer Anthony Evans, who appeared on NBC's reality series, The Voice.
Being here in Hollywood, like right now I'm in Hollywood, and I feel the pull to the pull to kind of worship yourself, mm-hmm. for lack of a way, better way to say it. It's all about your looks and your image and what you're putting off to people, and I feel like you can get lost in that. And I'm unashamed to say that my counselor, who I've been talking to while I'm out here, has been like, Anthony, as much time as you spend working on you in Hollywood, I want you to spend time with the Lord before you start spending time with him, or before you start going into, you know, whatever class, this acting thing or that music thing. Or he's just like, make sure you don't get lost, because this is an easy town to get lost in, and you're investing in things that are really futile. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're really glossy and pretty and you know, sexy, for lack of a better way to say it. You know, the lights and the cameras and all that stuff, that's great, but it's very futile, because at the end of the day, they all turn off.
Everyone's favorite amphibian, Kermit the Frog.
A lot of celebrities have had a hard time maintaining a wholesome image. They may start out that way and then go off the rails, but you've been very intentional and successful about that. How have you done it?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't spend my life living in Hollywood. That's part of it. Mm-hmm. I do all my work, and then I always go back to the swamp. I always go back to the place where I came from, you know, and stick with my roots, you know. I've been in showbiz for 55 years, which is hard to believe sometimes. The years just fly by. It's difficult in the world today because there's so much out there and there's so much easy access to things you might not necessarily want your kids to see. I will only say that in our case, I my plan is to always be able to deliver stuff that parents can feel comfortable putting their kids in front of.
Preacher turned movie producer T.D. Jakes.
I chose to be a part of that group that doesn't segregate its efforts to the church. I want it to have faith elements in it, but I don't want to say this is a faith film made for the church, because when I get ready to talk to the church, I have a platform to talk to the church. I can do it in my books. I can do it on the pulpit. I do it every Sunday. I do it on Christian television. I stream it on the internet. But the problem is the church is not talking to the world.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, go into all the world, but the church is focusing on trying to get the world to come to church. We're in the come phase instead of the go phase, and we can't go into all the world by camel. We have to go into all the world by the technology that presents itself available to us in a contemporary society. Consequently, I think movies are a great option to be able to go into all the world.
Pop singer and songwriter Owl City.
How does a talented young guy get discovered in Owatonna, Minnesota?
Yeah, you know, it really is kind of a surprising story, and I even kind of think, is this really me? You know, do they really have the right guy? You know, kind of given where I'm from and where I grew up and whatnot. But it really all comes down to the internet and especially social networking, as far as my story relates, because you know I'm from a small town. I'm an only child. I'm a pretty reserved, shy person. So the internet, especially MySpace at the time, was kind of my way of being a little bit anonymous and sort of promoting what I do without really even knowing I was promoting it. You know, I was just kind of creating songs, putting them up on MySpace for you know, some of my friends. I was going to send some links around to my friends and family. And for whatever reason, people started to connect with what I'd done. And this whole fan base has started to build behind the scenes without me even really knowing it. So, praise the Lord for just kind of being in the right place at the right time. It was certainly His plan.
Author and co-founder of Forefront Records, Darlene Brock.
Every influence has its impact. Media has the biggest. Media will shape her thoughts, her emotions, her expectations, whether she thinks there's some cute boy out there or some wonderful end of the story, or whether she's willing to let down guards you don't want her to let down. Mm-hmm. Media can influence that in her life and will.
Yeah.
Honestly, I have a heart for performers. I feel for them because they're putting a lot on the line, and especially when they're young performers. I know we step back as mothers and go, don't follow Britney Spears or don't follow this or don't. And that's technically true, but she was a little girl mm-hmm. that was not protected. And so my heart hurts for her. So I don't really want to use her as a battering ram over my daughter's head. I want my daughter to look at her life from a human view and say, this is the road she chose, and look where it led her. So don't do that.
All-pro NFL quarterback and reality TV star Kurt Warner.
You know, I firmly believe that we live in a society that's really, we want to make ourselves feel better. Mm-hmm. And I think there's two ways in which we have gone about doing this. And the first one, unfortunately, is where I think most reality television comes from. It's, if we can show somebody that's worse off than us, then we feel better about our lives. Mm-hmm. And so much reality television is these train wrecks that we see that we leave feeling better about ourselves, even though we haven't done anything better, even though we might have the similar circumstances, we feel better because we're not quite as a mess as the other person.
Dove Award-winning singer and songwriter Chris August.
When most of us think of Ashley Simpson and her career, we think of that lip-syncing disaster on Saturday Night Live back in 2004, which lives on YouTube. Did you have a front-row seat for that pop culture moment?
No, you know, that's funny. I came in right after that happened, and I did play on Saturday Night Live with her when she went back. But I felt bad for her then, and I still, you know, now that I know her and you see, kind of, I mean, she was sick. She didn't want to even do it. She wanted to sing live. The record label wouldn't let her. She was really sick. And, you know, you get forced to do stuff like that. She'd never lip-synced before, ever. And then what's funny is there's so many pop artists, that's all they do is lip-sync. It is completely normal when you're doing TV stuff to do that.
Is that right?
Like, completely normal. I mean, Chris Brown has never sung live ever. In every performance I've ever seen him, but he doesn't get any flack for it. You know, it's weird. And Britney Spears, same thing. I mean, but none of those artists ever got any flack for it. It's just she was one that got caught doing it.
Yeah.
Even though it's completely obvious to me, at least, when I'm like, these people are obviously not singing live. But some of the television shows, they don't even let you sing live. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Star of the motion picture Here Comes the Boom, actor Kevin James.
It's not that it's corny, but it's just good values. It's things that we've gotten away from and helping other people and in every aspect. And, you know, it's really the basis of this movie. It's for there is no greater love to lay down, you know, one's life for one's friends, for your friends. And that's essentially what this guy does. That's literally what the movie's basically about. Now, we don't go about it in a who are banging people over the head and, you know, preaching to them. But the message is certainly there, and that is obviously by design.
God of the Fairy Tale author Jim Ware.
One of the stories I talk about in my book is written by George MacDonald, but it's the Golden Key. And he has this image there of the key that needs to fit a lock. And that's a great image, I think, that all of us know that we're supposed to fit somewhere, Or maybe another way of saying it is like, you know, we've heard so many times St. Augustine said there's a God-shaped vacuum in our hearts.
Right.
And there's a key that needs to fit that, but we don't know what it is. So we invent these tales, we live these fantasies trying to find out what that is. So I think we all still connect to these stories because of that basic kind of a thing.
Mirror Mirrors, Snow White, actress Lily Collins.
The beauty industry is like a billion, multi-billion dollar, you know, every year it grosses so much money and there's so much advertising out there and it's so in your face everywhere you go, and it's hard to ignore those things. And subconsciously certain things, you know, they get in your mind and they kind of just come out every once in a while with thoughts of when you go shopping, or it's so physically in your faces all the time about physical aspects of people and beauty. And it definitely takes making sure that you surround yourself with, you know, people that love you for you and friends and family to kind of quiet those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Like during my day-to-day life, less is more. I wear very minimal makeup. The less there is on, the less there is to go wrong, is what I always say. And I think that that's kind of like, you know, it's just the less is more thing.
Hollywood television writer and producer Dean Battelli.
Seventh Heaven was the number one rated show on the WB. It was bigger than Buffy. It was bigger than Dawson's Creek. It was the number one rated show among teen girls on all of network television. But it never got the attention that Buffy did or Dawson's Creek did, because Buffy and Dawson's were sexier shows.
Hmm.
And I'll argue that, and I'm convinced this is true, that I will argue that no executive ever went to a party in Hollywood and heard these words, "Oh, I love Seventh Heaven. My family and I watch it all the time." They went and heard things like, "Oh, I love that lesbian kiss on Dawson's Creek. That show is hot. You know, you guys got the cover of Entertainment Weekly." And that's what Hollywood is all about. It's just high school with rich, angry, smart people, is my opinion. And they just want the attention that we longed for in high school.
Huh.
And so you tend to do shows that are more on the cutting edge and that you and your friends watch. And
mm-hmm.
since so few people in Hollywood know anybody who would watch a show like Seventh Heaven or Touched by an Angel, Hollywood doesn't make more shows like it.
Hootie and the Blowfish drummer, Jim Sonnefeld.
We played music because we loved playing music, and we loved writing together, and we loved the traveling and camaraderie. So I think we were in a win-win situation, whether we hit the big time or not. For us, hitting the big time was just the icing on the cake. A lot of people are striving for success or notoriety or to have their 15 minutes of fame, and without real knowledge that it's only 15 minutes. It's not going to serve you well for your lifetime. It's just going to give you a few minutes of glory, and then the reality is, boy, what are you really made of if the camera's not there? What are you going to do when the people and the fame go away? And that's what I think people forget in that position.
Author Homer Hickam, whose life story inspired the movie October Sky.
Although I craved my dad's attention and his approval, I realized fairly early on that it wasn't going to happen, and therefore decided that I was not going to let that bother me. It might bother me, but it was not going to slow me down. That if I earned his approval, then it would be because of something that I was passionate about, and if it happened, it happened. Ultimately, it did. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book. I wrote the book for that, to be able to write that moment when my dad finally came to one of my rocket launches. We let him launch the final rocket, and it so amazed him and so tickled him that he and I were able to share a moment, a wonderful grand moment.
Classic television actor Bernie Capel.
It started off with James Bond, then it went to Man from U.N.C.L.E. Then we thought we'd do a satire on the whole thing called Get Smart, where I was so lucky and I got to play Siegfried Vidon Shushia. People have a yearning to go back to the way television was when, A Love Boat, for example, happy endings. We had happy endings.
Mm-hmm.
Every show, just about, you switch around every channel, has got a dead body on a table, and people are having conversations about, well, what are we going to have for lunch today? And the dead body is there staring you in the face.
Renowned author, speaker, and relationship expert, Dr. Gary Smalley.
I'm so aware today that when every thought we have is important, every thought,
mm-hmm.
and the average person has anywhere from 20 to 60,000 thoughts a day, a billion during your lifetime. So that Just think of all the thoughts we have, and most of us aren't even don't even have a clue that they're essential or important, or there can be damage, there can be toxism, there can be good things happening. We don't even, I never even thought about it. I think the average American doesn't think about whether there's any consequences of their thoughts. If you decide as a couple or as a child, if you decide to go to a movie that's inappropriate, what you see and hear is going to be written on your heart.
Blanca Reyes of the Christian hip-hop duo Group One Crew.
We have like a dance crew that comes out to some of our shows. They're called Studio One, Young Beast Society, and they made it on to America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
And they decided they were going to do every track to a Group One Crew track and dance to it on the show, and they got so much flack for it, you know, from the producers of the show and the choreographers of the show. They're like, don't do it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. People aren't going to vote for you because they need a Rihanna. They need something that is going to connect. And they're like, well, this is what we believe, so this is what we want to dance to. And they made it to the top 10. They kept winning and winning and winning until they made it to the top 10 of the show. And after that, it, you know, the choreographer and some of the people on the show were asking, where can we find this music, you know? I'm not a Christian, but, you know, I would love to kind of hear the album and maybe take it around to some of my dance studios where I teach dance at. And so it was such a cool door to see how our music, they were able to use it, take a stand, and also be successful in what they were doing.
And last but not least, pastor, radio teacher, and evangelist Greg Laurie.
Really, in many ways, it's as much a story about Christ as it is about Ben-Hur, though the title is Ben-Hur, but I was moved by that, and I remember coming out of a theater in Orange County, I mean, just seeing that film, and I just kind of wished to myself, I wish I could have known that Jesus. And it was at that point that some Christian that I went to school with came up and said something to me about their faith in Christ, and I was starting to connect the dots that the historical Jesus is alive still, and one can know him. And it wasn't long after that I heard the gospel for the first time in a way that I understood on my high school campus. I made a commitment to follow Christ, and that was in 1970.
Some great memories there. You know, something we heard often in those clips, though in different contexts, is the power of entertainment to touch us and shape us, for better or worse. I love hearing Pastor Greg tell that story of how the movie Ben-Hur softened his heart to the gospel. Powerful stuff. By the way, if you'd like to watch Ben-Hur as a family and talk about some of those very same themes, you'll find a discussion guide in the movie night section of our website. In fact, there are free downloadable movie nights for more than 90 films that you can use to spark spiritual conversations. Some are designed for teens, others for younger children, and those have mazes and puzzles kids can enjoy. And again, they're all free and available at PluggedIn.com. Also, if you were listening today and you thought, oh, I missed that interview, but I'd really like to hear the whole thing, not a problem. Just go to our site, click the podcast page, and scroll down under Past Weeks. Most of the time, we include the names of our special guests in that title line. Well, now that we've reached the end of our 200th official Plugged In podcast, a few thank yous are in order. First of all, we're grateful to the Lord and to Focus on the Family for allowing us to continue to minister this way. We appreciate your support, too, and it really is an honor to talk with you each week. Also, several people helped us put this special episode together, Dave Salkeld, Deanna Williams, and Rob Jorgensen. So grateful for you guys, and of course, our sponsor again, our friends in beautiful Gatlinburg, Tennessee. You know, 200 podcasts means 200 Christian music clips. The one we're going to share as we say adios today is the latest single from Alan Scott. The song's called God in Me, and if you go looking for it on iTunes, it'll be available this Saturday, May 4th. One last thing, quick programming note. Next week, we're going to get our superhero fix with a review of Marvel's Iron Man 3, as well as a new video game featuring moral dilemmas for Batman, Superman, and other DC heroes. Join us, won't you? Because it's not just entertainment.
The official Plugged In podcast is a production of PluggedIn.com and Focus on the Family.
Can't find my way, your faithfulness remains.
storms they rage, when my strength begins to fade, give me eyes of faith. You give faith to the faithful.